I only ask that because I can't see otherwise. So, happy Father's Day to all the fathers in here. Fathers, raise your hand. Listen, I see there's three types of fathers. I see biological fathers, adoptive fathers, and I see spiritual fathers, right? And the fourth, actually, there's four, which would be our heavenly father. And so some of us in here today are spiritual fathers. Some of us in here are biological fathers. Some of us in here are adopted fathers. Some of us in here are spiritual fathers, adoptive fathers, and biological fathers, holding all three of those. This is a very, very, I would say to myself, a difficult message for me to bring, because the most important thing I think in life on earth is strong families, and that is made through bringing Jesus Christ number one in your household. And strong families don't just happen. Strong families are worked at. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Am I sounding religious on that? Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, listen. Without strong families, what else do we have? If we are not part of a strong family, the next thing you know is we have a breakdown in society, and we see it all over the place. So again, this is one of the hardest things I would have to preach on, not because I don't know what to say, but because I have a whole lot to say. And with that being said, my prayer is that it comes out not to a place of condemnation, but to a place of maybe provoking some people to hear some things maybe for the first time, or maybe to see themselves as a father more than they had before. Because I'm telling you guys, fathers, you have a big job to do. It's not all the mother's responsibility.
Amen.
Two, three, four amens. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so I guess the only way to start talking about this is to just talk about it, right? Do I have your permission to just lay it all out? Okay, all right. So I'm not going to step on toes, I hope. But if I do, hopefully I'm speaking truth, right? So before I start talking about fathers, I want to talk about my mother. And I want to talk personally about my mom, because it'll take me to a place about fathers. So I was born and raised in Long Beach, California, as most of you all know, and I was born with a mother and a biological father, but when I was 2 years old, my mother and my father got a divorce, and my mother never dated again after that. She never had another boyfriend, a lover, anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was just me. Now, although my mother wasn't perfect, as none of us are perfect, my mother did the best she could to raise me. And she raised me without knowing God, but she did raise me in morals. She did raise me as a gentleman to open doors and things like that and walk on the outside of the curb versus, you know, my spouse or a lady, things like that. And she worked her fingers to the bone. She didn't have a formal education. She didn't drive, so we took the city bus everywhere we had to go. My mother took in children. She babysat kids in our house. This is in Long Beach, California. Rent is astronomical. Even in the 80s, guys, it was astronomical. It was way up there. I paid $1,200 a month rent for a two-bedroom house in 1990. I mean, it's very expensive. And she watched kids in our home to raise me. And she took in laundry, clean clothes that needed to be ironed, and she would iron clothes. And then every other week, she would take me by city bus, and we would go to a guy's house, and she would clean his house every other week for as long as I can remember, for as long as it was until she got sick. And so she taught me things like work ethic. She taught me things of how to care for other people. She taught me things about how to provide. She taught me about sacrifice. She taught me about service. All these really good things, right? But she was my mother. She wasn't my father. She taught me things in the absence of a father. She taught me things that a father can teach, but I'm here to tell you guys, she wasn't a father. Matter of fact, there's 6,500 differences that separate a father and a mother, and that's called DNA. All right, come on. You need to hear what I'm saying. There are mothers in here that are single, raising their children, and God bless you, but and you may be doing actions of a father, but you're not a father. And there are fathers in here who are raising children maybe by themselves and showing things that maybe a mother should be showing, but fathers, you'll never be a mother because the difference in the separation in that is male and female. Don't be too quiet on me. That is the way God has created us. He has created us male and female for a very specific reason, and that is to populate this earth and raise our children male, father, female. I know people, so I am not bringing a word against a single mother or a word against a single father, but I want you to understand the realization is that a father is a father, and a mother is a mother. And you can't mix it because it is biologically how you're born, determined by the sex that you are, that makes a father and a mother a mother. It really is. Sometimes it needs to be said. 72% of African American births in the United States, they are saying statistically right now, have no father in the home. Years ago, the statistic across the United States was 42% of the lives' births had no father in the home. And what do we see? We see an increase in crime in those homes. We see an increased rate of suicide in those homes. I can speak of these things about a mother not being a father because I was raised by my mother only. I've lived it. I can speak about those things of fatherless homes wanting to commit suicide because I worked 16 years in an acute care psych unit. I've lived it. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. So I feel like I have the ability to say it. But it's also the Word of God that says, for this reason, man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. And then they will go and they will populate the earth. Amen. It says God was against divorce. I'm not coming against anybody who's been divorced. But why? Because many people who get divorced never get remarried or any other thing. And now what happens? It's a single family home. My wife and I, my kids are adults now. They're out of the house. I don't want to say it's the greatest thing, but what I'm saying is, this is the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing. It's statistically what happens nowadays is people will stay together just until their kids graduate. They've been miserable for 10 or 12 years, but just until the kids graduate, and then they get a divorce. You see it happen all the time, right? You do. Well, that would have been us probably, maybe even before then, if we wouldn't have had Jesus in our life. But when we got Jesus in our life, and the grace of God come over us, that changed things for us. So now, here's that greater part. Amen. Is that not only do Steph and I love each other, we like each other. We like each other, okay? And so, in the process of raising our children, you know, I am not by any way, shape, or form perfect in myself, okay? But when my wife and I together are raising our children, the areas that I lack, she completes. The areas that she lacks, there are only a couple, I complete. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of this has to make sense. And maybe in here I'm just preaching to the choir. Maybe somebody listening on Facebook, maybe it's the first time you ever heard it. I don't know. But we set aside today to celebrate Father's Day. I mean, they got a day for everything. We call them Hallmark holidays, right? There's Nurses Week and Mental Health Month and Mother's Day and Father's Day and Sweetest Day. You know, from California, they don't even have a Sweetest Day. There's something else added in there. Valentine's Day, I mean, there's all kinds of days. But just like serving and worshiping Father God every day of our life, a father should be a father every day of your life. See, my heavenly Father said that he'll never leave me or forsake me. And I take that lesson to heart because I am a father. And so I have to say to my children, I will never leave you or forsake you. When we read Scripture, we should read Scripture in a content that speaks to us as individuals. Have it ring true in your ears, not just as word, but as life. Amen, brother. How should I be as a father? Title of the message is The Life of a Father. The Bible is a history book written about heavenly fathers. Yes? Or written about the heavenly father? Yeah. Written by his children. Inspired by God's actions, written by his children. Are you with me?
Amen.
So I ask myself a question. If my kids were going to write a book about me, what would it say? Would the book that they write about me, would it be this awe-inspiring gift of life type message? Or would it say that I'm a whatever? Is it going to say that I was a man that loved God? Is it going to say that I treated my children fair? Is it going to say that I ruled with an iron fist and didn't allow them to do anything? Quit nodding your head, Kayla. No. But I had to ask myself these questions. Why? Because it's important to me and how I present. I mean, listen, reading the Bible isn't just something to do, right?
Amen.
Reading the Bible is the Word of God, the instruction book of life on how we should live and treat and live with others. And if we have lost the understanding on how to treat others or lost the understanding of right and wrong, in today's society, it's gotten to a place where everything's so acceptable, nothing is wrong. And that's wrong. Because there is right and wrong.
Amen, brother.
I'm not, again, trying to bring down condemnation, but truth is truth.
Yes, sir.
And reality is reality. Okay? Does that make sense? So over the years, I've realized that I have questions on how to raise and treat my children. All I need to do is the instruction manual of life, is what I believe. And so I had to ask myself, what does my Heavenly Father give me? What instruction does God give me in order to be a father? And as a father, shouldn't I give the same to my children? We all know the scripture that says, your fathers doing evil know how to give good gifts. How much more will your heavenly Father give? And so that elevates God to a place where he rightfully is, in a place of deity, in a place of superiority. But isn't he my example? Isn't he set forth things that as an earthly father I should try to emulate as well? Paul even said, don't imitate him. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Right? So all of us have a responsibility and a role in doing things. So I read Bible verses, like I said a few minutes ago, a little bit differently. I read them in order to see how I should be as a father. I read them and pick out the things, how I should be as a husband. What does the Word say on how I should be towards others? What does the Word say on how I should live my life? And when I start personalizing the Scripture, it becomes more alive to me. It changes the way I do things, the way I act, the way I feel. A couple weeks ago, I preached on wisdom. I know that my own wisdom within myself isn't good enough. But I have a Heavenly Father who's given me a Holy Spirit that's shown me other ways to go, right? Bring me into remembrance of the Word of God. So there's some examples I have. And this one's kind of straightforward, though. Proverbs 22:6. We all know this one. It gets shared probably every Father's Day here and in many other churches around, probably. It says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're older, they will not depart from it. But then I had to ask myself, how should they go? Right? It's important. Train up a child in the way they should go. Well, how should they go? I needed to learn how they should go. Because before Christ, I was providing for my children, but I wasn't as good as I could have been. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't until I got Christ in my life and Steph and I got Christ as the center of our relationship and we started to apply the Word of God that, okay, now I see how things are working out. Yes, sir. Some of the biggest arguments Steph and I used to have is our arguments between raising the children. But now we've learned to not let the sun set on our wrath when we go to bed. We've learned how to compromise. We've learned how to work things out. It's not everything she said. Well, maybe it is. No, but it's not everything she says or everything I say. We raise the children together. And it's been pretty functional so far. Right, Kayla? I got a smile. Nothing like being put on the spot. My dad's a pastor and he's preaching and I don't want to sit in the front row anymore. How should they go? So I went to Scripture. This is how they should go, I thought. John 5:19-21. And it's endless. You can keep going and going with this. But Jesus said to the Jews, I can guarantee this truth. The Son cannot do anything on His own. He can do only what He sees the Father doing. Indeed, the Son does exactly what the Father does. That's verse 19. I have a verse 20. Remind me of that, but I'm going to stop right there. The Son does exactly what the Father does. So it spoke to me. I am to set an example. My children are only going to do what they have learned from their parents to do. They may do different things and chart their own path later on, but when we're talking about Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, first things first. And I'll put it to both, parents, mothers and fathers, single or combined. Set the example. We talk about things like generational curses and all this stuff like that. I'm here to tell you, if you set a poor example, that poor example most likely will carry on to that generation, your offspring. And because they've learned that poor example will carry on to their generation, their offspring. Do you hear me? But when you stop it, see, Steph and I, the life we lived before Christ, when we came to Christ, we said, you know what? Generational curses are broken. I drew a line in the sand, a line of demarcation, and said, no more Satan, get behind me. You're not part of this anymore. I don't want my children to grow up to be alcoholics and drug addicts. So I'm going to set the example that I'm not an alcoholic and a drug addict. I don't want my children to grow up and think that they're not good enough to have what they desire in their life. So I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to tell you one of the worst things a parent can do is not encourage their children. Did you know that pride comes before the fall and humility before honor, but as a parent in here, you need to tell your children you're proud of them. You need to build your children up. This is what we have carrying on the next thing. They need to know that you love them. Even if they stumble and fall, you're there to put your hand out and pick them back up. You may not disagree, just like our Heavenly Father may not disagree. But dang it, you're their parent, and you'll stand by them. And you'll fight for them. Until you die and graduate and go on to heaven, you will fight for them. Every day of your life. That is your offspring, your children. You are not a best friend. You are a parent. You are a teacher. You are a trainer. You are a nurse. You're a practitioner. You're everything to them as a baby. And your walk changes. Your growth changes. When they're an infant, you treat them as an infant. When they're a toddler, you're a parent in a different way. When they go into elementary school and middle school and high school, you parent them differently. When they grow up into college, you parent them differently. But you're still a parent. Mother or father. And for some, I know, You're in both roles. You're in both roles. But don't forget what I first said. A father is important in a child's life. Important. I have things in my life that I'm still working through because of the lack of a father in my life. And that is truth. And so I speak from the heart. There's things in my life that I would have never had to deal with if my father would have been present. Fathers are important. If you're a father in here, God bless you being a father. Recognize your role. Mothers, recognize the role of a father as well. Fathers are important. In today's society, we have women getting pregnant because they don't want a man in their life because men have become jerks. And so they want to raise a child by themselves. It's a travesty, though, because it's important that a family unit be together and be strong. You need the whole family. How would it be if we served God without Jesus? How would it be if we served God without the Holy Spirit? But it is the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father that make the complete unity for us to be having a complete package. A mother and father in the life of a child is hugely important. Not a mother and a mother and not a father and a father. A mother and a father. Bottom line. That's just the way it is. Verse 20. The father loves the son and shows him everything that he is doing. Maybe I need to show my kids how to change tires. Or something, I don't know. But you know what? We are the instructors. We set the example and we teach our children. This is what you should do. Why? Because it's good for you. And just like Scripture in Corinthians says, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. I could tell my children just the same. You know what? You can go off and do whatever you want, but I'm telling you, there's consequences for certain things. Amen. Bottom line. And I love it how it's read PK, and I think, Richard, you turned PK onto this book, but it said, sin has its own consequences, but our Heavenly Father's the cure. And it's the same process. When we do things that aren't right, there's consequences. But I think of the story of the prodigal child. That father in that story, that parable that Jesus told, didn't matter what the kid was off doing. I'm sure the father had many, many sleepless nights. I'm sure the father was very upset and hurt in his heart that his child was off, wasting away his fortune, wasting his life away, doing things that he shouldn't do. But the love of the father didn't change one bit. Upset with the action, but the love of the father didn't change. And when that child came back, the father didn't close the door and say, you messed up, you can't come here anymore. So I look at it and I'm like, so what's my example here, Lord? Whatever the case may be, whatever takes place, you don't have to agree with it and you can be upset over it. But you know what? The door is always open to my children. They can always come back. And I want them to be able to speak openly about things that are going on in their life. Yes, sir. It's up to them to choose whether or not. But God's taught us to forgive, right? The Father will show him even greater things to do than these as we finish out that verse. And people will be amazed. John 12:49. I've not spoken on my own. Instead, the Father who sent me told me what I should say and how I should say it. The very words that come out of your mouth are instructing your children on how to speak. If you've got a mouth that has nothing more intelligent to say than a bunch of swear words, which used to be me until Jesus Christ, you should probably change it. Amen? Amen. Thursday night, Kayla and I were in the video store, big box video store, and there's a senior couple in there, Kayla and I, a guy checking out, and the person working. And the guy that was checking out was really loud and vocal. And every other word out of his mouth was a swear word. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, and on and on and on and on. And I looked at Kayla and I said, wow, he sure is using that word a lot. She looked at me and she's like, yeah. And so I thought, well, now listen, I'm not looking for trouble, guys, but right is right, right? And so I continue to listen. 30 seconds go by, and that one word that he was using, which some may not even have offense to, the S word, but in this public facility at the top of his voice, because maybe that's just the way he speaks, he then threw out the GD word, followed by the F word. And I thought, okay, we're done. And so I walked up to the gentleman. I said, wow, I would have thought I was in the bar. And he looked at me, and I said, it's a good thing there's no small children in here right now listening to your words like that. And he told the guy that was checking me out, he said, oh, all right, see you later. And he took off. Again, I wasn't trying to find conflict, but dang it, I'm a father. Amen. And I'm a man of God. Amen. And my adult daughter, even though she's an adult, she doesn't need to be hearing that stuff. Because when you're around me, you will respect her. Why? Why will you respect her? Because as a father, I say so. And I may be wrong in that, but I'm just telling you. It's the father that rises up in me when my children are mistreated. And that vulgarity and those words didn't need to be spoken. If I was in the bar, I would expect to hear it. But not in a video store. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have a responsibility. Not as if you're a parent, your responsibility is not just to you. Being a father or a mother is about servitude. And it's about sacrifice. It's about working second shift to provide, even though you're missing certain things. Why? Because you're trying to provide. That's a sacrifice. God bless you for the sacrifice in doing so. But you do it because you need to take care of the blessing that God has given you. If we could look at our children as not a burden but a blessing, wow, what would happen then? So I look at 2 Timothy 2:2. Pastor Weldon brought forth foundational scriptures that founded this ministry here 28 years ago. 2 Timothy 2:2 is one of those scriptures. And it says this, you've heard my message, and it's been confirmed in many witnesses. Entrust this message to faithful individuals who will be competent to teach others. So I had to ask myself, shouldn't my children be faithful individuals?
Come on.
Shouldn't they be ones that could be those individuals that I can that teach and entrust the Word of God to them as well?
Sure.
Train up the children the way they should go so when they're older they won't depart. Shouldn't they be taught? Which means, guess what? As a spiritual, as a Christian father in your home, you are a discipler to your children. And your goal is that they would become disciples of the Word of God. And that they would learn. Your first ministry, I learned the most important lesson. I say most important a lot, but anyways, one of those most important lessons, my spiritual father, Pastor Weldon, taught me that my ministry, my first ministry, is my family. Period.
Amen.
You see, if ministry here took me out to the point where I couldn't father my children or be a husband to my wife, then I shouldn't be in ministry here. Because my first ministry, just like yours, is your family. Amen?
Amen.
So how can I train them and get them to be more faithful is a question I had. And those, so these are some other scriptures that I looked at. I looked at the model prayer. Matthew 6, 9 through 15. This is after this manner, therefore we pray, and we most know it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And I thought, you know what? As a child of God, I'm asking God to give me my daily bread. What is my child asking me to give them? Isn't my earthly child, my child, asking me to give them daily bread as well? Babies, these little babies in here, they can't feed themselves. They can't. If you laid a baby in here, a newborn baby, they would die without the parent feeding them. or someone who's learned how to feed them, right? So it's the same requirement for us as parents, as fathers. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, we should be giving them this day their daily bread as well. So what did that speak to me? It means that I'm a caregiver. As a father, I'm a caregiver. And as a nurse in the medical field for 28 years, I've taken care of a lot of people. But if I neglect taking care of my own family, that's a problem. Joel Osteen had a book when I first got saved called Live Your Best Life Now, and I read it, and in there it said, a man of integrity is not the person that is good to his fellow coworkers all day long, and then when he comes home, he yells at the family and kicks the dog. And that spoke to me. I was a brand new believer, and I thought, oh my gosh, I definitely am good to my coworkers all day long. I worked in an acute care psych unit. I needed to put a smile on my face, fake the funk. But when I came home, did I take that out on my kids and my wife? And I had to search my heart, man. I had to search my heart. Because, see, I thought I was a man of integrity until I learned that definition of integrity right there. And I said, you know what? That's who I want to be. I want to be the man that will treat his family better than the coworkers. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. One of the biggest myths out there is when you don't forgive people, they're paying the price. Hopefully you know that when you forgive somebody, you're no longer paying the price. Amen? We have to teach our children what forgiveness is about so that they're not carrying these heavy burdens in life. Working a psych unit, one thing I've learned is that not loving yourself and unforgiveness towards others or themselves was two things that kept people coming back into the psych unit, wanting to end their life because they were living in misery. They never learned. They never had somebody teach them that they needed to forgive for themselves, not the person that did them wrong, for us, for yourself, for you.
Amen.
Lead us not into temptation. Oh my gosh. As a parent, the last thing we should do is bring temptation into our children's lives. Amen. If we're living a life, I'll pick on smoking and drinking. Why not? They're both legal for 21 or 18, right? But if I'm living a life smoking a cigarette and telling my kids, this is bad for you, don't ever start, as I continue to puff, I am leading them into temptation, people.
Amen.
If I'm drinking a beer and I'm saying, listen, don't drink beer because it's ruining my life and it's ruining a lot of people, but yet I'm continuing to drink it and tell them not to, I'm a hypocrite. The world is full of enough actors. It's time to get real and do some changes. Somebody may be thinking, well, where's the grace in all of this, Pastor Mike? Listen, the grace of God is what I'm speaking to you right now. He's given us a way out. He's given us this instruction so that our life is better. He's given us this instruction so that we know what to do, how to act, and how to live. Abundant life, not mediocre life. Most people that start drinking alcohol, they drink alcohol to dull the pain, dull issues in their life. They're depressed. Little do they know that alcohol is a depressant. So the more you drink it, the more depressed you become. Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? Colossians 3:21. Well, and it goes on in model prayer, but deliver us from evil. At the video store, I feel like I delivered my daughter from evil. Those words, not evil within themselves, but it was junk. And it didn't need to be spoken in the presence of my daughter, adult or not. Bottom line, Colossians 3:21. Fathers, don't make your children resentful or they will become discouraged. Encourage your children. Love them. Show them what love is about. If you're a parent in here, if you're a father in here, and you have a wife, do not be afraid to show affection between the two of you, husband and wife, so that your children will see what a healthy relationship's all about. Fathers, open the door for your spouse. Let them get in before. Open the doors for them. It's a constant battle in our home. No, let me get to the door first. Don't you know I'm supposed to open it? So they may be walking ahead of me, and then they stand and wait. Like, come on, dude, hurry up. But I do it because it means something to me. It's important to me to open the door for you because you're my queen as my wife and you're my princess as a daughter. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, don't make your children bitter about life. Instead, bring them up in Christian discipline and instruction. Boy, that kind of sums up a whole lot there, doesn't it? Don't make them bitter about life. As a Christian, you know, something that we have done in the church probably many times is we've made life as a Christian boring. But we should be the most excited people on earth. Yes, sir. And our children should be able to see that living a Christian life is not only awesome and cool, but it's a major, major adventure too. Amen. There's nothing more exciting than serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is nothing more exciting knowing that any given moment you can walk up to somebody, lay hands on them, and watch them get healed. Many times we don't practice it, but my gosh, the same Holy Spirit dwells in us all. Amen?
Amen.
And that comes with power. Tell me that's not exciting. Wow. You're driving down the road and there's a major storm coming at you and you say, you know what? In the name of Jesus Christ, storm be still. And all of a sudden it parts and your kids witness it and it's like, that's right. That's right. And you got the same power.
Amen.
I was teasing Kayla this morning. She's got a little succulent plant. I think they're called succulents. We set it in the sun, and the sucker's dying. I said, you know what? You need to go home and lay hands on that thing, right? And pray life back into that plant. Why? Because there's power. There's power in prayer. Jesus isn't a story. It's history. These are real events that have taken place in life. And thousands of years ago, there was these same dilemmas that we're dealing with today. And so they laid out ways to live a better life and be better yourself. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I thought, okay, as a father in my home, I am shepherding that home. My family should not be in want. I'm a father. They shouldn't be in want. They should not want for love. They should not want for encouragement. They should not be in want for, let me tell you what, discipline. They shouldn't be in want for discipline. I don't know how many kids I've met throughout the years working with them in the hospitals and things like that. They say, man, my parents just let me get away with everything. I wish there was structure. Listen, without structure, things fall apart. That is our job, to show structure in life. Man, verse 3 says, he lead me on the path of righteousness. So, my Heavenly Father leads me on the path of righteousness. But it's our job as parents to lead our kids on the path of righteousness. Now, we know that we are not saved because of the works that we do, but good works aren't bad. Right? Good works aren't bad. Show them. You know, even a 3-year-old knows right from wrong. Hey, don't touch that. Sometimes they don't have the wherewithal not to touch it, but they still touch it, and then they learn, hopefully. But we should show them the right way, the path of righteousness, and we show them protection. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy as a father should be on my family. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow my children all the days of my life. Surely I will show them goodness, what's good, and be merciful to the things that aren't good. I will love justice. Amen? And my kids should grow up to love justice as well. I'm closing up here, guys. John 15, 12 through 13. At this time, you can call the kids to come over, please. John 15, 12 through 13. Love each other as I have loved you. This is what I'm commanding you to do. Verse 13, the greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends. The greatest love that I can show my family as a father is to do those things that I don't want to do just because I know that they will be a benefit for them in the long run. There's no part of me that's wanted to work second and third shift in the medical field and be away from events that they were having. I got out of the Army many years ago because I was missing things that my kids were involved in. Just for training. In the 82nd Airborne Division, I would spend 5 months out of the year in training, away in the field. And you can't get that back. But I was providing service, and I was providing sacrifice, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing to sacrifice and serve. As we come into 1 week, one street, we have spiritual parents, Randy and Lisa, they'll be taking youth and showing them what it is to serve in the city of Saginaw. Not for their gain, but for the gain of others. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
And all those others involved in that. It's a beautiful thing. Two things I want to close with, and they're short. Fathers, if you're going to fight for anything, fight for your family. Fathers, if you are going to fight for anything in your life, fight for your family. Put on your full battle rattle. Get on your knees. Whatever you have to do, whatever it takes, fight for your family. And when you think you've gone all you can go and you can't go any further, then you stand as the word says, but you fight for your family. Enough is enough, and you fight, and you fight, and you fight, and you fight. There is a very real battle going on, and it is a spiritual warfare. If you're a father and you're a Christian and you find yourself lacking in the area of prayer and you need and you're wondering, what is an area that I can pray for your family. Stand in the place with the Holy of Holies and the heavenlies. Make your requests known and fight for your family. One of the most important things you can do in your life. And last, fathers, remember the grace that's been given to you.
Good word.
Remember the grace that has been given to you.
Thank you, Lord.
You're not saved because you're this awesome person. You're saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God's grace has given you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. And everything that you need as a father that pertains to life and godliness are the same tools that you will use to raise up your children and to be a father and to be a husband. Amen?
Amen.
We're not going to close in prayer. We're going to have children come up. Ready? Coming around? Yes, I will.